We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
On the phone, let's say good morning to Paige Cognetti. Paige, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Jason?
Doing all right. Just, I'm dodging text message attacks. It happens.
Is that what happens to you every day?
Oh, it's horrific. Is it yesterday?
Well, I've been dodging attacks on me on television and radio, so I feel like we're in good company together. Well,
and I'll start there. Full first, Paige Cognetti, you're running for the position of mayor of Scranton. And I had a guest last hour, Gary St. Fleur, who's also running. And, Gary was born in New York. His parents immigrated here. He's first-generation American citizen. You grew up on the West Coast, correct?
That's right. Yep, I'm from Oregon.
And, I grew up in Jersey, but I spent 10 years in California, and I don't necessarily feel welcome all the time. I mean, it doesn't bother me. It is what it is. My wife's from Dixon City, so it doesn't, I have connections here. Well, how do you feel like... how do you deal with that? Like, because people judge you based off of accomplishments that most I would think would be a plus. Some people say it's a negative.
Oh, well, I'm very proud and very fortunate to have had the experiences that I've had in my life. So when people talk about my experience and try to make it a negative thing, I welcome that. That's fine. They can say whatever they want. I'm proud of every role I've had, every one that I've worked for. And I'm very fortunate to have had the opportunities that I've had in my life that have led me to be able to run for mayor of Scranton on my record, on my experience. And in terms of not being from here, my mother's actually from Oregon for this last week of the campaign. So we're meeting everyone in Scranton, and we celebrate the fact that I'm not from here. I'm married to a man who's got deep, deep roots, both his Irish side and his Italian side in Scranton. And I love this area. I love that his family ties go so far, and he's in the food business. His grandfather, great-grandparents were in the food business. He's carrying on that tradition. I love that being a part of my life, but what I think that I bring to our relationship, to our growing family, and I hope to the city of Scranton, is an outside perspective. I think it's a plus to have, whether it's in a relationship or in a government, you have outside perspectives. You have somebody in me coming into Scranton saying, okay, I know that this is, quote, the way that old things have always been. It doesn't have to be that way. I've lived in a place, many places, where it's not this way, where the corruption isn't there, where people don't hire based just on who knows who as opposed to merit. I think you have to have seen that and lived that to be able to be the change agent going forward in a place like this.
Yeah, so one thing I've dealt with, and I've said, I've lived in cities. I lived in Harrisburg for a while. I lived in outside of Sacramento. And, are there rumors of corruption? Yeah, but nothing like when you get here. When I got here, I was everywhere I went. When I went out to California, people said, don't move to this place or this place. Why? Because crime was high. I come here, and everyone just goes, whatever you do, don't move to Scranton. And I go, why? And they go, it's just out. You can't afford the taxes. I've never had people tell me financially you'll never make it in this city, that it's the worst place to go to, when it shouldn't be. I see so much potential. And then I tell people, well, I saw this. It wasn't this way elsewhere. They go, well, if you like it so much, go back. And I'm like, well, you're missing the point. I'm trying to, I think we can help and all work together.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. That's how I feel about it too, is when I actually left Oregon, it was in 2005, I left Oregon for the East Coast. I moved to Washington, D.C. I wanted to get into government and change the way that I thought the country was going. I wanted to be part of the 2006 and 2008 campaigns. And I was bored in Oregon politically because everybody in Western Oregon kind of agrees with each other. And so Pennsylvania, especially northeastern Pennsylvania, Scranton, the politics here are absolutely, there's so much fun. There's so much work to be done.
Wait, and you say so fun. Let me ask you. I mean, do you mean crazy?
I think it's crazy. Fun because I'm positive. I'm positive that we can make good changes. I'm positive. And from talking in the last few months with people in Scranton, we have many, many University of Scranton and other students in the area that are helping. We have high school kids helping us. Mm-hmm. We have a youthful energy around our campaign that proves to me that it's not just me thinking that we can make changes. There's people of all ages that are helping out with this campaign and think we can move forward if we just get the better leadership and better folks into these government institutions. We can make the government work for people again, and I think we really can make a difference, and hopefully we end up growing. We can grow the tax base. We can erode that. The tax burden is way too high. It's incredibly high here. I can't believe how high it is. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of work to do to get there, but I think that there's things we can do over the short, medium, and long term to help start relieving that tax burden on the people in Scranton. But, you know, we need to work together to do that.
What is your plan? How do you address this? Because it's like the it's crazy with whether it's nepotism, whether it's corruption. Mm-hmm. There's all sorts of issues. The high tax rates. Like I've lived in places where there's been high taxes, but it was kind of amazing what you got in return. I don't think there's much return on your investment here. How do you get rid of the corruption? How do you fix the tax problems? If you get elected on Tuesday, what's mm-hmm. the first two or three things you do just to make these changes that you're talking about?
Yeah, I think it all does start with people. I think it starts actually not January 6th when I would be sworn in. It starts November 6th, which is the day I would, you know, wake up and start the transition. So it starts with people. It starts with putting the right people on my team, in my cabinet, and advisors around me. You know, we don't have a lot of budget. We don't have a lot of money in the city, but I know that there are a lot of people who want to be part of advisory committees to help, you know, spend their time and money. They don't need to be paid, but they want to help the city move forward. So I need to put the right people around me to think through all of these issues. And, you know, the human resources, human capital piece of this is the basis for getting the corruption out, right? We've got to make sure that we are empowering people and empowering the right people to do their jobs, giving them the tools to do their jobs. I think there are a lot of good people in city government here that just haven't been given the technology or the motivation or the oversight and management to empower them to do their jobs well. So I think what we need to do to fix all of the issues, and this would be everything from taxes to painting the crosswalks better to getting our street signs up, we need to take that step back, figure out why some of our systems aren't working, invest in the technology so that our people can track things, and then move forward with a plan, with an actual plan, again, short, medium, long-term plan, to figure out how we can fix things, little and big.
When you start talking about people attack, it's politics, it is what it is. One of the concerns, and I addressed this when I was talking to Gary, people have with Gary, they have, I think, more publicly with you, is this idea that you keep changing jobs and you're all about ambition and you want to get this job, but you just want to be out of here and move on to the next big thing. To that, like, you know, is there truth to that? And if so, is that a positive still because you'd be working really hard to impress your next employer?
No, first, it's flattering to think that people think I'm qualified enough to move on into other things. But that thing about people changing jobs, you know, having worked in Washington, D.C. and New York, having gone to business school, my kind of cohort of friends and former colleagues, moving jobs every 2, 3, 4, 5 years is very normal. It's maybe not as normal here in northeastern Pennsylvania, but where I am, people move jobs. It just is something that is part of, I think, the modern workforce, and especially in government. You know, government is inherently something that you don't do forever because you're part of the administration. You know, I was in the Obama administration. You can't possibly have a job in an administration for more than 4 or 8 years. So you right. always are moving on. If you're in politics, campaigns only last, you know, a maximum of about 2 years. You're always moving on. So I think that the people that try to knock that on me, they're not realizing maybe that that's kind of the way the job force works. for a lot of industries, a lot of sectors, and specifically government and politics, which is what I've been doing for a lot of my life.
Talking to Paige Cognetti, candidate for Scranton's mayoral position, election day is on Tuesday. A couple texts have come in, and I'm just trying to, you know, I'll throw them at you and you can kind of answer these questions. The biggest one that keeps coming up, well, one, do you have a stance on the rain tax?
Well, we don't have a rain tax in Lackawanna County, and it's not a tax.
Not yet.
It's absolutely our responsibility to figure out this problem. We can't just ignore it. The state and federal government do need to do more. We need to be working much better with them, and especially in Harrisburg, having, you know, I'm on leave from my job with the Auditor General, so being in Harrisburg and some of his team is looking at these types of issues to make sure that when implemented, these solutions aren't wasteful. We cannot ignore this problem. Harrisburg needs to do more. The federal government needs to step up and do more. At the local level, I don't know what the solution is. I know that Luzerne County has tried something, and it's a little bit unwieldy. I'm not sure that that regional authority is what we should do here in Lackawanna County. I'm not sure that a city authority itself is what we should do. I want to be able to look at all the options and figure out what has worked the best in other places, and then we're going to have to go from there.
Okay, and then just taxes in general. A lot of people, you know, we mentioned taxes are crazy here, and you know that property taxes are nuts. I feel like I read this article, but I've read a bunch of different articles. The Times, some articles have indicated that you want to raise taxes on everybody. And they're saying the Times did. So maybe I haven't seen this article because it doesn't jog anything in my memory. But what is your... You know, because obviously money needs to come in from somewhere. Taxes are important if they're utilized right. What is your plan with taxes? If you become the mayor on Tuesday night, or you become the mayor-elect, do you see taxes going up in any way?
I certainly have never said, nor do I ever feel that I would want to raise taxes. That's a funny way to characterize it. I will say I can't promise I can lower them. I know that some of my opponents go around saying, "Oh, I'm going to lower your taxes." You can't make those promises as a candidate. Once you get in there, you don't know what you're going to face. You don't know what shortfall might already be there. You don't know there's some lawsuits against the city that are pending that unfortunately might hit us. So I'm not the kind of person who's going to make promises I can't keep. I certainly don't want to raise taxes at all. I'm just not going to make any promises, though, because I just until I get in there, until we see what's coming at us,
okay.
I don't know. However, with the taxes, our structure, the structure of the taxes in Scranton is so archaic. The best example, of course, is the business privilege mercantile tax. It is affecting our small businesses, but then letting financial institutions off scot-free. We need to convert to a payroll tax. That's one of the pieces of tax reform we need to do.
Right.
And I would do everything I can to first simplify our tax structure. Once we simplify it, I think our collections will go up. Back to getting the right people and motivating our people to do their jobs better. Our tax collection rates should go up if we make it more efficient, both for the taxpayer and for the people trying to collect those taxes. So I think there's some room to grow within the band of what we're already charging. There's a lot of nitpicky taxes in there and fees that make people feel like they're getting nickel and dimed. That really hurts not just the way that people feel about the place they live. It also hurts our ability to collect it, right? So I think if we can restructure some things, hopefully at that same level, in a revenue-neutral manner, that will be helpful. And then any other new taxes, any other new, you know, we can't help what the school district does. I'm looking forward to working hand in glove with the school district and doing whatever we can as a team. We have the same goal. We have the same kids we need to care for. We can't do anything really about what the taxes need to do with the school district. However, I want to look at tax relief programs that have been implemented around the state and the country to make sure that those property tax increases, if they are necessary, are not on the backs of our seniors with fixed incomes. I do think that we can figure out a way to not be raising taxes on people and not getting them in a place where they have to leave the home that they've built.
What do you think the time frame would be for getting some of these changes you want to implement in place? Because, you know, most candidates will be like, we're going to do this, and they don't really throw a timeline into it. You're actually saying we can't just do this without, like, there's, you know, you need to take your time with things. That's my interpretation of what you're saying.
Yeah, and that is we need time, and that's another thing. Just like I will never raise your taxes. I'm not going to promise I can change things overnight. We need time to be able to figure out the root causes, time to be able to, whether it's retraining current employees or bringing on new people. We need, you have to attack problems. You have to solve them first the first time, right?
Right.
So I don't want what I would offer, I think this is the right way to do it, is that mentality of we got to do it right the first time, so let's take the time to figure out how to do it right.
Gotcha.
And so that's, if not, maybe not satisfying in the immediate term, I can't just go, fix everything right away and then, it's going to break again the next day. We need to get things set now so that we are permanently fixing problems, or fixing problems in a sustainable way. Tax structures take a while to change. I certainly, this is a special election for a two-year term. As I would be looking at this as a 6-year term almost, where you,
right.
You certainly would never take anything for granted politically,
sure.
But having to really have to. You need 6 or 10 years to really implement all of this, and those are the types of horizons I'd be looking at.
When it comes to the future, where do you see, based off of your vision for the city, what do you see the Scranton becoming down the road 5, 10 years that we don't have right now?
Yeah, well, I would go back to the top of our chat today with me being from the West Coast. You've spent time on the West Coast. I am from Oregon, and I have a lot of friends who live in Seattle and Portland and San Francisco. And in the last 10, 15 years, my friends who thought they were going to be able to afford to work hard and buy a home in those cities are priced out. The growth there has been incredible, and the pricing, though, is just out of control. So a lot of my friends have started to move into inland cities like Spokane, Washington, Boise, Idaho, Bend, Oregon. And I don't see why Scranton in 5, 10 years, if we move forward and like you said, work together, it's not just Scranton, it's the whole region.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see why Scranton can't be a destination city for families, young people who want to start a family from New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia, Connecticut, places with, especially New York, New Jersey, Philly, or Connecticut, with high taxes. Pennsylvania state tax is a dream, right? 3% is the dream state tax to pay. So why wouldn't you, if you're living in Connecticut, want to move to a place like this if it has the right things to offer? So if we can get the school district back where it needs to be, if we can continue to develop the downtown and the neighborhoods, Scranton, Northeastern PA, we have amazing food. We have beautiful, beautiful downtowns. Scranton, I'm just looking from our campaign office right now. The brickwork is just, it's fabulous. We have so much to go on, and I don't see why we can't be that inland city that people, young families go to, so that they can spread out.
I mean, being an East Coaster, I remember being a child going to New York City a couple times with my parents, and I remember just like the dirty theaters and I would see these things I shouldn't have seen, and they kind of cleaned that up and made it a family destination. So on that scale, if they can do it, we should be able to do it here as well. Anything else you want to say that maybe hasn't been brought up in any interviews, anything you've been just looking to get, a message you've been looking to get out before we have to go?
Yeah, I think that it's been... I think we've run an amazing campaign, and anyone who hasn't been able to see any of our campaign, we have the website page for Scranton.com. All the information about me and my plans, you can always reach out to us on that website or on Facebook. My team is here, and they can have me answer questions anytime. I'm happy to get on Facebook or on the phone even and just chat with people before Tuesday. This is really important that we make the right choice on Tuesday. I think we're at a crossroads in Scranton specifically, given the sad nature of why we're in this election at all. We are at a crossroads. We need actual change. I do think I offer the best chance for true change. And I'm hoping that not just the folks that always go out and vote, but the folks that can vote, but kind of, get lazy and off your elections. I hope they get out there and get to the polls on November 5th.
Well, look, I appreciate it. Your website is pageforscranton.com. And look, I wish you the best of luck. Tuesday is election day. Paige Cugnetti, thank you for being on the show. At some point later today, the interview will be up on the website, and people can share. You can share it around if you'd like. And I wish you the best of luck. And Yeah, that's it. Thank you for coming on the show.
Jason, thanks. And I wanted to say I thought your bio online was hilarious with the Sam and Rebecca Cheers reference. So I was excited to talk to you today.
I forget what I wrote. Is that because we named our children after Sam?
Yes.
Not after. Yeah, it's crazy. One of those
We're big
things.
Cheers fans in our household, so that made me laugh.
Yeah, we didn't realize it till after the fact. It was too late. So anyway,
thank you for that.
I do appreciate it. Paige Cognetti, good luck on Tuesday.
Thank you, Jason.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.